How many of you looking forward to Thursday this year, this week? I see a lot of men raising their hands. I don't see a lot of women raising their hands because women think, oh, I got a lot to do between now and Thursday. But Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving, when most people think about giving thanks, especially for the food that they have. And so I had to get a picture of this nice banquet that's up on our screen this morning here. When we think about Thanksgiving, one of the things we think about the most, I think, is about food, right? The dishes like ham and turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, gravy, green bean casserole, yams, cranberry sauce, the whole works. It's so wonderful. And then to top it off, we have a piece of pumpkin pie or pecan pie or apple pie sometimes. That's what I'm looking forward to the most. But maybe your family has other foods that are traditional at this time of year for Thanksgiving at your house. And some of you might have changed over the last few years on what foods you've brought to Thanksgiving because more people are more conscious of what they're eating. Some people are gluten-free now, and some people are vegan or vegetarian, so those dishes might be included in our Thanksgiving feast. But Thanksgiving is not just about food. It's about our thankfulness, especially to God, for bringing us through another year, for bringing us through to this time again. And even though our year might have been hard for us, and some of us have had some hard times this last year, been difficult, been struggling, there are still many things to thank Jesus for. And we sang this morning a hymn about counting our blessings. And I like that first verse because it lists as we list our blessings, it might surprise us how much the Lord has done for us, how many we'd be able to come up with. And as I thought about this last week, I kind of really didn't have anything as far as a scripture passage to talk about on Thanksgiving. I kind of left that open to kind of, as I was planning out my year calendar of preaching, I couldn't settle on one particular verse. Of course, most of you know that I've been here for the last several months, we've been talking about the book of Exodus. And if you've been watching on Facebook or whatnot, we've been making our way through the book of Exodus, discussing the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel and how God continues to make a way through the wilderness when we are struggling in our wilderness-like experiences. And I told you last week that we concluded last week with our study on how Moses was in God's presence and God's glory and how his face shone and how we are to shine forth God's glory. And I said that was the end of our series on our way through the wilderness. But as I continued to read through the rest of Exodus in my own personal devotions this last week, I kind of came across another story that I want to include. And as the more I thought about it, the more as I thought this can apply to Thanksgiving as well. And so even though we're not with our series Away Through the Wilderness this week, I thought that this story in the book of Exodus can really show us thankfulness. Because we have this story that I want to touch on this thing, and it talks about Thanksgiving. And even though there's no mention, if I would do a word search about Thanksgiving or giving thanks or being grateful or gratitude, I wouldn't find it in the book of Exodus here. But if you look behind the story, as we will this morning, I think we will see that there's definitely applies and has ties to Thanksgiving. Now, I'm talking about the story that we read about in chapters 35 and 36 of Exodus. And in this passage, we'll see three things that we can be thankful for that sometimes do not make it on the top of our Thanksgiving list. I mean, we have usually on our list of Thanksgiving, we have our list of things we're thankful for. We're thankful for food, I think that's the top of my list here, and for family, and for fellowship with God, and of course for Jesus. We want to make sure you put him at the top. But there are some things that make it down the bottom of our list, might not even make it on our list at all, that we don't thank Jesus for enough. And as I looked at this passage this morning, or this last week, I see three things that make us so thankful that we become overwhelmingly thankful. So that's why I titled this message this morning, Overwhelming Thanksgiving. And so how we can be overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. And so the first thing that I think we can be thankful for that doesn't make it on our list of thankfulness many times is that we can be thankful for trials. Now let me set the stage of where we are in the book of Exodus for those who haven't been here for a while or who are just tuning in for the Thanksgiving message here. We've been studying through the book of Exodus, and the book of Exodus starts out with the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. They're slaves there. They've been taken over They came down there, but then the Pharaoh started making them slaves, and even started to see them increasing, and so they were being oppressed and killed. And so God raises up Moses to lead them out, that famous line, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh says, "No." And so God sends 10 plagues along to kind of punish Egypt and kind of make Pharaoh's heart soften, but it does just the opposite. Pharaoh's heart becomes harder and harder, and each plague is worse than the other, and it comes to the point where God actually kills the firstborn sons in the land, from the greatest to the least. And this is the Passover, which is still celebrated by Jewish families in their households today. And Pharaoh finally releases them and lets them go, only to chase them down a few weeks later when he changes his mind. But at that point, they're at the edge of the Red Sea. They're in the mountains that are on one side, and the Red Sea is hemming them in, and Pharaoh thinks he got them, but God steps in, parts the water of the Red Sea. The Israelites walk through on dry ground, and when the Egyptian army tries to follow them, God puts the walls together of water and drowns that entire army. And God continues to look out for the Israelites afterwards as they travel to Mount Sinai. He provides water and food in miraculous ways. He gives them shade during the day with his pillar of cloud during the day, and warmth at night with this pillar of fire at night. He even fights with them when some enemies attack them. And when they make it to Mount Sinai, he gives them the Ten Commandments, which we studied back in our previous series. You can listen to that all online, by the way, if you haven't already. But he gives them the Ten Commandments, and people agree to the Ten Commandments, and so God says, "Okay, come up, Moses, I'm going to give you the patterns for a tabernacle for you guys to build." And so Moses goes back up on the mountain. He's up there for 40 days. And he comes back down, and the people have disobeyed God. And the people are restless, and they make this golden calf. And so this bride brings God's wrath upon them, and even God refusing to go with them. But Moses takes and steps into the gap and pleads with God and even asks for God's glory to be shown to him. And God agrees to finally go with them and to show Moses his glory. He shows Moses just a part of his glory, but that was enough to make his face shine. Now that's where we are at in this book. Moses then goes back up on the mountain and again spends more time with God and getting his plans for the tabernacle and all that goes with it. Let me read what happens in Exodus chapter 35, starting in verse 4. It says, "Moses said to the whole Israelite community, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, bronze, purple and blue and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair and ram skin dyed red with hides of sea cows, Arcadia wood, olive oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The ox stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. All who are skilled among you to come and make everything that the Lord has commanded.'" Moses says, "Hey, okay, guys, go and get some of your stuff, and let's build this tabernacle. Okay, God gave me the plans up on the mountain here. Now it's time to collect some goods and start putting them together and making this tabernacle, this place where we can worship God here on earth." I lost my place here. And Moses starts doing this, and he collects all these items. And I love what it says in verses 20 and 21 of this chapter. They collect all these things that they list in there, and I'm not going to read the whole list there of all things they collect for. But it says, "Then the whole Israelite community," in verse 20, "withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone," listen to these words, "everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for its service and for its sacred garments." I like that. In fact, I underlined it here. Everyone who is willing and whose heart was moved in them. If that's not thankfulness in words that don't say thankfulness, I don't know what is, right? That's a perfect description of thankfulness. Willing heart, a grateful heart, willingness to give to the Lord's work. But as we think about this, and as I thought more about this, where does this thankfulness come from? What we tend to forget is the source of all these items that they're collected, and they're these gold and silver and yarns and linens and animal skins and oils, all these things. What was the source of them? Which is why I labeled my first point, Thanksgiving through trials. We're thankful for trials because the book of Exodus does tell us where much of this material comes from. It tells us, but sometimes we forget about it because it's clear back before all this came about here. Back in the book of Exodus in chapter 12, this is when the children of Israel were still slaves in Egypt. They were still under the oppression of Pharaoh trying to oppress them. This is when even the plagues were still taking place. And God knew that the day was coming when his people would be freed from the Egyptians, but the people were still in this process of hardship and suffering and trials and tribulations and troubles. And God instructs his people there in Exodus chapter 12. He says, ask the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. See, the Lord had made the Egyptian favorably disposed toward the people and gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. So before they left, they asked their neighbors for gold and silver, and the Egyptians willingly gave them all this stuff. Probably because they're afraid of God. But this treasure was collected and given to Moses, was probably brought back this memory of this horrible time in the Israelites' life. Not just the slavery, but the plagues and the death of the many Egyptians that would occur around them. It reminded them of the struggles and trials they had gone through. Wasn't that a pleasant time in their history? And yet with grateful hearts, they brought it to Moses. Everyone who was willing and whose heart was able. This treasure might have also come from another point in their history, from Egypt as they left on their journey to Mount Sinai, because at some point we're told at the battle of the Amalekites in Exodus chapter 17, if you remember back when we talked about the Amalekites then, the Amalekites attacked without warning, and they wanted to try to wipe out the people of Israel without provocation, and stop to kill them without warning, without mounting, you know, before they could mount a defense. And this is the battle where Moses famously stands on a hill and raises his hands. And because of his hand being raised in thankfulness to God, they win. And Israel might have gotten plunder from that battle. I'm not so sure. Some people say that, yes, they probably did. But I'm not sure if the Amalekites brought all kinds of treasure when they came to attack the Israelites. Some commentaries think that this group lived even further north, and so they didn't have all this plunder. It's possibly, too, they got some plunder from there as well. However, it appears that they had more than enough goods to build the temple. I mean, they had increasing amount. In fact, this is one of the verses that came across this time that kind of brought this all to mind here. It says in Exodus 36:36, he says, Moses tells the people, okay, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. I mean, they bring so much. It says they bring it day after day. If you read through the story here, they bring it morning by morning. That they finally say, okay, I think we've had enough. You can stop now. Stop. We don't need any more gifts. We don't need any more contributions. Stop. I mean, this is a place where I would think a lot of people would like to be a part of. That they were just overwhelming in their giving. People were so willing to give that they brought more than enough for the work that was required. And this doesn't happen very often with building campaigns or building committees. They don't ask people usually to stop contributing because usually it's the other way around, right? It's us begging people, okay, we need more money, can you get more money? And unfortunately, that's the image that many people outside the church speaks of the church, that we're just asking for money. But again, I'm not preaching this morning because we're asking for money. I'm preaching it this morning because I see thankfulness behind this. I don't see them, I'm not going to focus this morning on how much they got, but their thankfulness, how overwhelmingly thankful they were. They gave it all. Give unto you, give no more. They had this overwhelming thankfulness. That's where I got my sermon title from this morning. They were so overwhelmingly thankful for what God has done for them already that they gave until they could give no more. You see, I think they knew that God was going to continue to bless them. They had seen how God led them out of this land of Egypt, this land of slavery. They remembered their hard times and how God provided for them. They realized that God had already blessed them with more than they needed. And so they could give this overwhelmingly gift of thankfulness to God. And even though it doesn't specifically say this here, I think as they were giving, they were thinking about all these trials and troubles that they had went through. And how God helped them in these trials to know Him better. To grow stronger in the Lord. In fact, this giving was for a place where God could come, a tent, a tabernacle, that God could come and meet with them and be among them and to dwell with them. A place where God's presence would be there visibly and would something that would be worth all the hardships and trials that they've gone through. And so they were thinking more about the thankfulness than they were the trials. Kind of reminds me of what it says in James chapter 1 in the New Testament. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers. Be very thankful, if I could paraphrase, my brothers. Whatever you do, what? Face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. You see, this author James knew about God's blessings. He knew the power of overwhelming thankfulness, even in our troubles and trials. And this is something that we sometimes don't thank Jesus for, God for, during Thanksgiving time. I mean, I don't hear around Thanksgiving tables people saying, oh, thank you, God, for my car breaking down. Or thank you, God, for my unexpected hospital bill. Thank you, God, for my back pain that I have right now. I mean, that's something that we don't often have at our Thanksgiving tables. I do remember one person in the Bible said, thank you for my pain. I remember Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 12, I will boast or be thankful all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Now, if you know the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know that Paul's talking about just a kind of minor inconvenience that he's going through, right? No. He calls this a thorn in his flesh. This thorn in his flesh that he's prayed already three times, God, take this away, it's too much for me. And the word thorn there in Greek is not just a little splinter that you might get from a piece of wood. No, he's talking about a stake that people are impaled upon. He says, hey, I want this thing to go away. But he says, God said, no, my grace is sufficient. And so I will boast. I will be thankful in my trials, my weaknesses, in the things that cause me pain. These trials and troubles are not easy. And oftentimes, we're kind of overwhelmed by them. But if we view them in the way God does, they can become beneficial for us. Like James says, they become ways we develop perseverance, the way we get to know God better. And we can thank God for counting us worthy of waiting for us to grow and to develop. There's a song out on the radio by a group. I didn't know their name. I'm very familiar with the song, but the group is named I Am They. It's a Christian group. But their song that I hear on the radio many times is titled Scars. And they sing, I'm thankful for the scars, but because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. And I know that they'll always tell of who you are. So forever, I am thankful for the scars. And they talk about in the song there, that the scars in their life that have come along, that they see in their lives that were caused by pain and hardship. But because of what God has done through those scars and by healing them, they are thankful. And not only their own scars, they go on in subsequent verses about talking about the scars that Jesus has. And thankful for those scars that he had when he was crucified on the cross for our sins. And thankful for those scars. So maybe this Thanksgiving, instead of just thanking God for our food, maybe we can thank him for our trials. And that can make our Thanksgiving overwhelming when we pray for those, because we know God brings us through these trials for our good and for our benefit. And so I think this is one thing we can learn from chapter 35 and 36 here of Exodus. But there's a second thing we can thank God for and be thankful for, and that's thankful for time. If you would read through these two chapters about the Israelites, if you'd start as they started to build this tabernacle, one of the things you'll see many, many times is how the people work together and volunteered their time to help build it. Exodus 35, 25 says this, every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen. And all the women who were willing, thankful, had the skill, spun goat hair. The leaders, the other people, brought ox stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. Okay? All these people brought these things. Exodus 36, verse 8 says, all the skilled men among the workmen made the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet yarn with cherubim worked into them by skilled craftsmen. These guys worked all together. And it says even further, Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholib and every skilled person whom the Lord had given to build and who was willing to come and do the work. Again, this willingness, this volunteeriness, this wanting to do God's work comes up over and over, over again as we read this chapter. They had overwhelming thankfulness to use their time and their talents, or time from, and their energies for God's work. And notice that these verses all have to do with their volunteering to do this for God's temple. They were never forced to give their time to this endeavor. They did so cheerfully and with a willing heart. They had this thankfulness to God that he was able to use the time that they had given. I remember growing up and learning to play the French horn. I didn't like practicing a whole lot and spending time doing that. But then my parents went out and bought me a French horn. I mean, I knew that this was not a cheap purchase, and I knew that we weren't rich in any sense of in the word, but they went out and bought me an incredible French horn. And knowing and being thankful for so much that they had given to me, my parents, I was able to practice more because, hey, this is a treasure. So I was able to give more time to playing my French horn and playing my instrument because I knew I was more thankful. So I was able to give my time more. So that's kind of the same way, because since God delivered these Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians, I think one way they gave thanks to God was through their time, by giving it to God and rescued them, by giving their time to bring glory to God. We're not told exactly how long it took them to put this tabernacle together. It could have been up to a full year because of how they arrived at the Mount Sinai and when they left, but we're not told exactly how long they built this for. Later on, we're told when Solomon built his enormous temple in Jerusalem, it took him 7 years to build this temple of gold and marble and things. But the entire time that they were building this tabernacle, people were willing to give their time, grateful for the time that they were given. And again, I think sometimes when we get to Thanksgiving dinner, we don't think about the time and opportunities that God has given to us. The time and the energies that he's given to us. Yes, we sometimes thank Jesus for our healthy bodies and for strength, but how about just time? I mean, we're not told how long we have here on earth. But God is with us the entire time, and he's patient with us. In fact, when Moses saw God, this was one of his characteristics, his characteristics of time. It says that God is the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. He is slow to anger. He gives us time to repent, abounding in love and faithfulness. In fact, this attribute is repeated many times in the Bible. I like the one from Nehemiah. If you read it from Nehemiah, Nehemiah kind of recounts the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt to the people that just had come out of Babylon. He kind of that parallel story there that, hey, God just delivered us back to the promised land, and how in the same way God did this in the past with the Israelites here. He reminds the people there during his time that our forefathers became arrogant and stiff-necked and did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return them to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them. Again, referring to God's slowness and anger that he wants to forgive and give us more time to repent. God gives us this time to make our right hearts right with him, time to serve him, time to have fellowship with one another and with him. I like how in the New Testament we see this in Peter's day, when Peter wrote this in his letter. 2 Peter 3:8 says this, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, but as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. And so God has given us time. Those listening to me online, God has given you time. Time to come to repentance. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to go without knowing Him. And so maybe this Thanksgiving we could take some time to be thankful for the time that He's given to us all. Maybe use that time for something for God's kingdom, or use that time to repent and change our hearts. You know, the greatest gift I would love to have that Thanksgiving time or Christmas time is for people to know that God is needed in their heart, and for them to give their heart to God. You see, time is very important. And the way we use our time needs to be for God, to serve others and to be gracious to others just as God has been gracious to us. And so this Thanksgiving, I know some people volunteer their time and use their time here on earth for others, for volunteering at various places, for various charities. So maybe this Thanksgiving, that's what you need to do or think about doing, is volunteer your time and be thankful for the time God has given to you. Or maybe you can spend that extra time with your family member who doesn't know Christ this holiday season. Maybe there's a family member that just hate spending time with them because they're always negative or they always say this and that. And God's saying, hey, I want you to spend some time, extra time with them. That might have been previously hostile to the gospel. Maybe they need a helping hand or a word of encouragement. Or maybe some of you need to use your time this holiday season to tell your kids or grandkids about what God has done in your life. Stories of how God has been compassionate and loving to you. He's been patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but for them to come to repentance. You know, that's how we can become overwhelmingly thankful. Because we don't waste our time. Because we use that time that God has given to us. And so we can be thankful for that. Again, but there's a third thing that we can be thankful for. And that is to be thankful for our talents. Again, as I look back on these two chapters of Exodus, the tabernacle was not just being built by two individuals, this Beelzebul and Aholah, but they were the ones in charge of the workers and volunteers, but they had these gifts and talents. And there were other ones that God had given talents and gifts to. In fact, it tells us that these two men were even given the ability to teach others. Right? Not just to do the work themselves, these two guys, but they were given the ability to teach others their talents. These other skilled workmen and women who brought their gifts and talents to the Lord for the work of the building was enormous. And yet God would use all these talents and gifts. And again, I read through some of them already, that these people were willingly giving their talents, their gifts, their abilities to God. And I thought more and more about these two men this last week. These two guys that God had kind of put in charge of this whole thing. I thought about what their life was like before God had put them in charge here, right? I assume that these two men were goldsmiths and metal workers in Egypt while they're in slavery. That's kind of, I don't think God just miraculously brought this knowledge of goldsmithing and metalwork and fabric work and all this stuff in that moment there on Mount Sinai. I don't think that he could have, but I don't think God blessed them with that kind of knowledge. I think they were kind of craftsmen before this, and God just used those gifts and abilities and multiplied them and made them for his glory so that they could be the leaders and have the skills that they needed. But they were slaves in Egypt as well, and they had developed these gifts and talents year by year while they were in slavery. But then I thought, what happened to their gifts and talents after they left Egypt through the parting of the water to the Red Sea? There was not much need for goldsmithing or silversmithing or all this artistic work in the wilderness. I mean, you were fighting for survival out there. And you probably could not bring all the equipment that you needed to do a job of goldsmithing, and probably that might even have been owned by Egyptians at that point, and so they couldn't take all their equipment and forging equipment and goldsmithing stuff. They might have a few tools, but they were leaving in the middle of the night, and they did not have even time to get their tools and other stuff. They needed to be goldsmiths. And for the last 3 months, these guys were essentially unemployed. They had nothing to do. They were raised as goldsmiths, as craftsmen. For the last 3 months, and for the 80 days that Moses was up on the mountain, they had nothing to do. They had lost their livelihood, their sense of security, their identity as men. I mean, I know several years ago when I was unemployed for several months, I felt less of a man because I did not have a job. I mean, men kind of correlate our jobs to who we are, our identity. And it was a big blow to my dignity as a man, as a kind of a breadwinner, to not have bread to win for the family. And so I'm sure it's likewise with these two talented men who had little to do ever since they left this land of Egypt. And how God blessed them and their talents when he said to them, hey, I'm going to use those talents. You thought they would have gone, that you didn't need them anymore, but I'm going to bless you by giving these talents to make something glorious. Something that my presence can come and dwell in. How thankful these men might have been because of what God has given to them talent-wise. Overwhelmingly thankful. Thankful for their talents. Thankful for the gifts and abilities that they had not been able to use for quite some time. And sometimes on our list of thankfulness, talents and our gifts and abilities are the way God has built us gets lower and lower on the list sometimes. Right? Sometimes at the bottom or forgotten altogether. We take our wisdom in our various areas and talents we have for granted. We don't realize that we are given these by God. And as we read in the New Testament parable, the talents there that he gives us for a purpose. And that if we don't use those talents, they can be taken away. If we're not using them or being thankful for them. And so I like being thankful for trials and for time, but our talents also need to be toward the top of the list, I think. We can be overwhelmingly thankful for all these things, because without them, we wouldn't be able to serve God the way he has, what he's designed us to be. I mean, God has designed each one of us with specific individual talents and gifts. I don't have the gifts and talents that you guys have, and you don't have the talents that I have. But God has given each one different abilities, and we need to be able to use those times and talents and be thankful for them and use them. And he enables us to do that. So this holiday season, don't just count your obvious blessings. Don't just count your wonderful families and food and the things that normally get at the top. Be overwhelmingly thankful and thankful for the things that God, we don't thank Jesus for enough. For our trials and for our troubles, we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for our time that God has given to us and for our talents as well. When you think about this passage about how willing the people were to give to this tabernacle, so overwhelmingly thankful they gave more than they wanted. Don't just think about this, oh yes, the pastor's going to preach on money again. No, think about this not just in giving their overwhelming money, but their overwhelming thanks. Because that's what was behind this. These people just didn't overwhelmingly give because God asked them to. I mean, they had it in their hearts because of the gratefulness of their hearts to give thanks. And so I would encourage you this next week to let your thanksgiving overflow.